Hey, this is What the Faux Travel Podcast, Series 2, Episode 6, and it's all about Morocco.
Welcome along, guys, for another episode of What the Faux Travel Podcast. Now, you might have heard on our last episode, we said this was going to be about Iceland, but things have changed a bit. We are still going to do an Iceland episode, but this month, it's all about Morocco.
Yes, merhaba, everyone. Do you know what? When we first started the podcast, we were like, I know what will be cool. We'll start every episode by saying hello in that language. That
never happens.
Never happens. So, merhaba to start
I thought
start
it was salam alaikum.
Yeah, but that means like, hi, how are you, I think.
Oh, like good
yeah,
day.
But merhaba, something like that, right. Is a bit more like hello.
We don't have time for this chit-chat because we have got such a full show coming up. I'm really excited, actually.
Yeah, and I know we say that on like every episode, but this is actually so jam-packed, I don't know how we're going to get it all in. Coming up on the show, we're going to be talking about Beyond Sahara Festival, which is somewhere we went in Morocco, 2 weeks ago we got back?
Yeah,
or a week ago we got back?
Well, yeah, but it was in March.
So basically we went to Marrakesh and then drove out to the Sahara Desert and fucked shit up.
We had a party in the desert. It was ridiculous.
It was such an adventure. I can't wait to tell you about it. But we also, while we were there, we interviewed the guys who started the festival, and they're a company called Fixers, and they're really, really cool married couple, a bit like us.
We're
pretty fucking cool. So we're going to be talking to them a bit later as well. We've also got a interview with someone called Saeed.
Legend.
Who Nicky's just in love with because he is really cool. So we're going to be talking to him later as well because he was from our Riyadh. You'll also hear from Nikki, a girl that we travelled to Morocco with because we met her in Nepal in India when we first went for the first time. So we got to travel with her again, which was really cool. And then also, last but not least at all, we're going to be playing a game called Nick.
Actually, I had to think then, what's it called? No, it's the best name for a game we've ever come up with, it really is. It's all about sexual innuendos and puns, and the game is called That's What She Fez. It's fucking brilliant.
I can't wait.
We came out with the title before we even knew what the game was. We were like, this is the title, we have to make a game about this. That's What She Fez.
So yeah, we're going to have a battle of sexual innuendos. They all have to be about Morocco or Africa, kind of loosely related to it. But yeah, I can't wait to play that. So that's about halfway through. But first off, let's start by doing shout-outs.
I only got one this week. We're not getting much left.
No, don't say that.
Okay.
You sound so unpopular.
Okay.
No one listens.
Shout out this month goes to my main man, Kyle Cash. He got in touch with us on Instagram and he commented on one of our pictures. He just said, huge fan of yours. Thanks for the awesome podcast.
Lad.
That is cool, isn't it? And I can tell Amy is now getting very uncomfortable because she hates it when I read out messages of people just saying how great we are.
I feel like we should stop the shout outs thing because we're always just like, it just sounds like we're making it up. Like, oh, this person just said, we're really cool.
What if I try and balance it out? If there's any haters out there, like, let us know.
We welcome you.
I'm actually tempted to make a whole feature just on haters.
That is a good idea.
Bring it on.
We actually haven't had one yet, which is pretty amazing.
It's going to happen
since
now.
We've been going for a year and a half.
All right, game show facts.
Yeah. So time for game show facts already. Let's do this.
This music turns me on. Go DJ. Okay, the Kingdom of Morocco is the most westerly of the North African countries. Its rich culture is a blend of Arab, Berber, European and African influences. The population is 32 million. The capital city is Rabat, but the largest city is Casablanca. The currency is the Moroccan dirham, and the official language is Arabic, although French is widely spoken. The official religion is Islam. In 1912, Morocco became a protectorate of France, which means that they were controlled and protected by the French. This ended in 1956. In Arabic, Morocco means the extreme west. This is because it's the westernmost country in the Arab world. You can ski in Morocco. Morocco is only 8 miles from Europe across the Strait of Gibraltar. Morocco is one of the largest producers of marijuana, locally known as hashish. A kasbah is the area surrounding a North African city. A tagine is a traditional Moroccan pot, wide at the bottom with a tall, thin lid made from clay. Moroccans enjoy a special green tea drink called Atti. Atti is a mix of green tea, mint and sugar. brewing and serving tea is considered an art form in Morocco, and guests are considered rude if they don't drink tea when offered.
Oh no, that's me.
That really is you. It is legal to have more than one wife, but the first wife must agree to this. And finally, there are two main groups of people in Morocco, Arabic people and Berber people. The Berbers are the more nomadic type from the Sahara Desert region. They wear a haik around their heads to protect themselves from the sand.
So let's go with the second from last one about the wife thing.
I knew you'd pick this one up. You sound like you're obsessed with things like this, like what? Wives or wife swapping, or like Mormons who have like six wives or something.
Yeah, because we're swingers.
We're not. We're not. We're really not. Amy gives this whole facade on air, but when the mics are
at home,
off,
I'm like, please don't leave me.
Yeah, so true. But yeah, so you are allowed to have more than one wife, but a lot of men actually choose not to. They're like, no, well, I want to do that, but the first wife has to agree.
Yeah, we watched a pretty cute video actually of all the guys like, you have one heart for one woman. It's really cute.
So you're right.
The other thing I was going to say was, obviously, everything that was in your game show facts is in my That's What She Fez. So.
Well, me too. And that's why I've done it. I've put in the groundwork so people know these Moroccan things we're going to refer to.
I think we're going to have some of the same innuendos.
Oh, yeah, we will, because there's only so many you can think of, isn't there?
It'll be all right, though. Let's go on to our next feature, which is our new one since last month. Our Germany episode is Language Lessons with Amy. But last time it was a bit long, so I'm just going to cut this one down. I'm going to give you five words, just kind of like the basic words, to get you around, get you talking to people, getting you talking to locals.
Great. What, Arabic or French?
English. No. Of course it's Arabic.
But I just said they speak French as well. So
true.
Arabic.
True.
Let's
well,
go.
You can speak. Yeah, a lot of people said bonjour to me, but I don't know whether it's because they thought I was French.
Oh, yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
There's loads of French tourists there.
So welcome or like hello, like I said at the start, was merhaba.
And merhaba.
Merhaba. I'm really sorry if I'm saying this wrong, but I couldn't get someone saying it. I forgot. Let's be honest.
At least we're trying.
I forgot to get a local to record this. Anyway, salam alaikum, which means like, it literally means peace be with you, but it's kind of like, hi, how are you?
I like that. Salam alaikum.
That was wrong. Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum.
Nice. That was good.
Nailed.
Right. Thank you is shukran.
Shukran.
Shukran. So that's C-H-O-U-K-R-A-N for November. So shukran.
Shukran. I
that's
like
it,
that
shukran.
One.
No is la.
La.
Yes is nam.
Nam.
And then my favourite word of the whole Arabic language, which you might have heard even if you don't know any Arabic, is yalla, which means like, come on, hurry up.
Yeah, so you get that a lot, like when we'll talk about it later, when we're travelling into the desert, getting in our 4x4s, the guys who are driving, like, yalla, yalla, let's go, yeah. Vamos, vamos.
Yeah, and what was our driver? Ali, he was called Ali, wasn't he?
Yeah, Ali.
He was an absolute legend. And
he was
every time we got back in the car after like a pit stop, I was like, yalla, yalla, let's go.
Let's go.
And I kept shouting it at my camel as well. Whose name was Tom Hardy McHardison, by the way?
Well, yeah, because you named him that. That wasn't actually his name.
Yeah, I named him. But then there was a girl behind me who went, did you just call him that so that you can say you rode Tom Hardy? And I was like, that is brilliant. That is exactly why I did it.
Yeah,
that's
bet.
Amazing.
I bet.
Yeah, that was Language Lessons with Amy. There you go.
Love it.
Wrapped
that's
up.
Good. It's quick, educational. I like it. Now you've got the basics.
Yes. So you can now freely travel Morocco and you can thank What the Faux Podcast for that.
So educational.
Right, we'll stop blowing our own trumpet now. Right, let's talk about Beyond Sahara Festival.
Like it. So I think the first thing we should start with is, how did we hear about it?
Good question. So there is a group on Facebook called the Yes Tribe. Now, these are a group of people who literally just say yes to anything. Well, they try to anyway. I'm not sure if they kind of do it, but they're all tuck. No, I'm joking. It's a bit like the film Yes Man with Jim Carrey, if you've ever seen that. So yeah, it's a Facebook group, but basically I was joined into this group and there was three women that were going to it last year, which was their first year. So when we went to it this year, it was their second year of doing it. And they were selling an extra ticket, but last year I happened to be in Budapest on a hen do, so I couldn't actually go and I was really upset about it. So I put it on my bucket list and said, like, we have to go next year. So we did.
So what it is, it's a, like a music festival in the Sahara Desert, and you've got sand dunes all around you, and you're in like tents, but it's like glamping, it's not roughing it. You know, a lot of music festivals that you'd normally go to, like in England maybe, and it just looks like this amazing adventure in the desert, party under the stars. That sounds fucking good.
Yeah, definitely. And after the show, you should definitely check out their promotional video for it, because you'll get a complete vibe of what it is. And the music that we've got playing now, this is the music to the video. So every time I hear this, I just feel like I'm in the Sahara Desert, and it's amazing and it's great. So there's so many things you can do there. So you can do yoga, you can meditate there. This is all during the day. Obviously, there's loads of food. There's a jewelry tent. There's some guys called Disco Dodgeball who like play like party games and stuff. Got the slip and slide was there. There was a sunset dune walk. There were so many things to do. It was so cool. So we met a group of people in our car when we were driving there, and we sort of stuck with them the whole weekend, didn't we? So we were with Natalie, Maureen and Owen. Maureen and Owen were friends like for a long time, and Natalie was on her own, and then we all just kind of got together. So it was us with our friend Nikki as well.
Yeah, and really good group, wasn't it?
Yeah, really, really nice. And we kind of came up with this description for it. So you know the film The Beach, the one set in Thailand on that beach with Leonardo DiCaprio? It's a bit like that, but in the Sahara Desert, because there was an exclusive, like, I think there was 130 of us. And, like, sometimes you'd just be standing with someone who's a complete stranger. Everybody talks to everybody. It's really friendly because they're all like-minded people. And sometimes you just turn to someone and be like, we're in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Like, how crazy is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, technically, on the edge of the Sahara Desert.
Okay, we are on the edge of the Sahara Desert right now. How crazy is that? It was just mind-blowing. It really was.
Yeah, it was such an adventure. It's definitely something, you know, a type of adventure people should try. Fixers arrange all your transport. So you arrive at the airport like we did. Well, they can pick you up in town in Marrakesh if you're already in Marrakesh for the weekend. And then they arrange 4x4s to drive you. And I will tell people, you know, with adventures like this come ups and downs. And just the only real down is it's a long journey. But what do you expect? If you want to go to these cool places, you have to do these long journeys. So think about a 10 to 12 hour drive to get to the first stop. And then the next day was like another 1 hour drive. And then you get camels for the last hour, which is fucking cool.
Yeah, that was really
so
cool.
Just be prepared, you know, for a lot of traveling. But it's worth it because, like you said, you get to this place, which is a bit like the beach. You're isolated. And you just have a really cool experience.
It really, really was. And so this was kind of like a music festival as well. So we had quite a few DJs there, one of them being DJ TP, and also another a local Moroccan guy. Well, he's from Casablanca, and he was my favourite. I loved him. He was like a proper techno DJ, and he was on in like the dirty hours of the morning where it's all like really good. Everybody's drunk. And it was really fun. So just so you can hear a little bit of that, this is what it sounded like at about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
So that gives you an idea of the kind of what it was like in the early hours of the morning.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was good fun. So while we were there, we got to speak to Ben and Lisa, who founded the company Fixers, you know, and they arranged this whole Beyond Sahara festival.
Yeah, so we were talking to them and we started off by asking what they do at the company.
Hey, I'm Ben. I'm one of the founders and CEO of Fixers.
Hey, I'm Lisa. I am the creative director, co-founder of Fixers.
And Ben's wife.
I'm Ben's wife. My name is Lisa Simpson. Yep, I know.
I bet you get that all the time.
I play the saxophone.
Oh, do you?
No.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I must admit, I'm one of the many people. When I received your email, I did have a little chuckle of, oh, Lisa Simpson. So immature, and you must get that all the time.
I don't know. I quite like it. I think, like, there's worse cartoon characters that you could be named after, right?
For sure.
And you're Abdi, right?
Yes.
And who are you?
Yeah, I'm from desert. I'm second hand of Ben in Morocco.
So Ben, your face is covered in glitter. How was your first glitter experience?
Quite intense, actually. It's very bizarre to have to stare into a stranger's eyes for 15 minutes while they paint you with glitter, but I lived with it.
Okay, well, you pull it off very well. So, can you tell us a bit about Fixers? Like, what's your vision? Yeah, what do the company do?
So, Fixers, we think that at the moment, booking a whole day online kind of sucks, right? We think that Google is an amazing tool, but ultimately it serves you with the highest bidding result and not necessarily the right thing for you. And what we want to build is a platform which is totally personalized to you, which inspires you to do something which you might not have considered or you might not have found without us, and then connects the dots between accommodation, experiences and transport, and makes it super easy for you to pay with one payment in one place, so that you can go on amazing holidays which always hit your expectations.
Yeah, I think I saw, was it on your website or something about, like, is it like the war against boring holidays or something like that?
Yeah, sure. So, that's a bit of fun. But ultimately what we think is that right now you end up kind of compromising all the time, right? So we all lead like these super busy lives. We're constantly connected to our devices. We are working so hard now to be able to buy a house, to be able to like live. And we're struggling like personal, social, professional lives kind of like take over, right? But we have super high expectations of when we go on holiday. And that's why we've kind of started the war on boring holidays, I guess, because we think, you know what? You need time to actually plan your perfect holiday, time which we don't have. That's what we're trying to do.
Very cool.
We have experienced this for real, right? So, like, we just got fed up of coming back from these slightly average holidays that we just didn't have time to plan. Like, so we booked 2 weeks off work, went to Spain, we hired a car, we had, like, visions of, like, driving through the countryside and going to these, like, awesome little authentic little locals tapas places and, like, spending time with locals and, like, doing amazing, like, adventurous things. Basically, the reality was we booked these 2 weeks off, we booked the apartment that we wanted to stay in, and we basically didn't think of anything else. So we were, like, we got lost. We ate some really questionable
very average
in like some weird like little villages along the way, and like we were just like, you know what, we got back and we were just like, this like holidays have to be better, like what are we going to do about this?
Fixers is really based around that premise, and like, so whether that's like whatever you deem to be extraordinary on a holiday, so whether that's like traveling to the Sahara Desert and having an amazing life-changing experience by climbing up to the top of the sand dune and watching the sunset with like like-minded people, or going to a wellness retreat in Goa, or riding huskies in Finland, or para skiing off the mountain in Desalp, you know, whatever it is, you know, that is what we want to make it really easy to do, is for people to book these extraordinary, like, awesome experiences.
Out here, I think, Abdi, you'll probably agree, like, pretty much anything's possible in Morocco, you've just got to know the right guy.
Good to know.
And Abdi's the right guy, right?
Yeah.
So if you know the right guy, then you can pretty much do anything. You want to ride a camel? Cool. You want to go off into the desert for a night? No problem. You want to go in a dune buggy? Cool.
Amazing.
That's it. So Abdi, how did you meet these guys? How do you know each other?
I know them in Marrakesh. Like just one friend, they make us to meeting, and they told me about their idea and what they have and what I like from them. They all the time they bring something new. That's what make me like more active and more, you know, many companies or they do something every day, every time. It's boring, but they have good ideas. They want Beyond Sahara to be growing, like last year than this year. This year is more people coming. They were trying to work in this year, double or triple of people to come in, and we show them our country. Morocco is beautiful. Like, you know, in your road, you see Atlas Mountain, you see Casbahs, you see desert, camels, and you're back again, maybe snow.
I agree. Yeah, Morocco is a beautiful country. Yeah, it's really nice. So, Elisa, what was the first trip you guys organised as Fixers?
First trip, it was Romania. What we love doing is bringing to life countries and different destinations that people just haven't even considered going to, right? So we found this ice hotel in Romania and we were like, oh my God, wow, this is incredible. What is this? How do you get there? So we went out, we did a recce there, took a film crew, like, well, our friends, and like did some amazing shots out there. And basically we traveled through Transylvania and like through the Carpathian Forest and mountains, went into Bucharest and like uncovered these really cool like hipster spots in Bucharest that no one is even talking about or even knows about. And it's just like, that's what excites me the most, is bringing to life destinations that people just don't even know about. What we want to do is basically like make the corners of the world really accessible to people that are just extraordinary. So yeah, It was at Ice Hotel in Romania, and
it was a big moment for us.
It was
though,
it was massive, yeah.
Because we launched the site on sale, which it was like a proof of concept website. We wanted to prove that we could take people from like not really knowing what they wanted to do, they just knew they wanted to go on like a really fucking cool holiday, right? Yeah. But they didn't know where, they didn't know what how much they wanted to spend, they just knew they wanted an adventure. And then we wanted to ask them a few questions, we wanted to like ascertain what they wanted, then we wanted to make recommendations and take them through to booking. And for the first sort of 8 weeks, we didn't have it quite right. We made loads of tweaks on the website, and then we put it back out. And when we got our first sale, James, to go to Romania, it was like the floodgate opened. And then after that, it was Romania, Finland, Goa, and
Montenegro,
Albania,
Morocco,
Portugal. Yeah. And there was one night where we were sat at home, and I was like, oh shit, Lisa, you know we've got like people in like 13 countries tonight? That's pretty
and also, we built this website, and it was, sorry to anyone that's listening to this and you might have booked, but like, it was so shit. Like, it was so hacked together. Basically, Ben did like a semi left after 2 years because you basically went off and did like amazing stuff, but like of a web design degree. And I have like some really, really bait experience on Photoshop, but love photography and love images and love and obsessed with filtering them and like writing. So we basically combined into those like skills together, built this really crap shit website that we wouldn't have booked on, but like somehow people loved what we were talking about.
It was amazing.
And they booked, and like they kept booking, and they kept booking, and kept booking, and we were just like, oh my god, we've got something here. So now, where we're at today, we've taken the site down because we are gearing up to build, and we've recruited a new co-founder, Chris, who's off there somewhere partying and having a good time. However, he's on board to basically build and help us to create this amazing technology. We're going to be building and launching 500 new adventures, hotels, experiences. So sign up, join the Warren Boyne Holidays. wearefixers.co.uk.
But I love it. Yeah, the war on boring holidays is perfect for me. So, like, where we are now, beyond Sahara, we're in the middle of, well, not in the middle, but, you know, we're in the Sahara Desert. This is awesome. This must be a real ball ache to organise. Can you share any of that with us?
And whose idea was it, like, the basic idea? Whose was it?
I don't think there was, like, a lightning bolt moment for either of us. We got married out in Marrakesh in 2014, and a lot of our mates were like, oh, what should we do after? And we were like, you know what, we went to the Sahara a couple of years ago, it'd be really cool to take them. So we took like 40 friends and family down to the Sahara Desert, and we were both sort of like pretty drunk, watching people, and it was like, even my mum was raving. She was having like the time of her life, right? So then we were like, this is a really special place to have a party. Like, it's in mind-blowing location. I think everyone can find something to connect with here, whether it be like the people, whether it be the location, whether it be the tranquility, the fact that there's no Wi-Fi, the fact that there's no 3G, you know, like, it ticks, you know, so many boxes. What's really special to us is that you've kind of got to earn it. It's not easy to get to. You know, people always say, oh, can you not open up the airport? It's like half an hour. There's another airport like half an hour away, a military one. And you can't. We have checked. But we wouldn't really want to, because I think you've kind of got to have that. You've got to earn the adventure. You've got to, you know, it's 10 hours in a car where you get to meet great people. You get to talk for ages. And that was, and I think we both would have sat around on some dunes being like, we need to do a party here.
Because as much as we love travel, we really, really love a party. And like, I just love the way that it brings people together of our generation, the music, and coming from an events background. And I've always just loved that sensation of bringing people together. I think travel and music and party and culture, to do all those things and like do them like in a way that is like putting the like-minded people in a scenario, in scenarios that are like once in a lifetime, is a pretty special thing to do. And yeah, that's, I think, like the premise of Fixers to be known as well as giving people these extraordinary experiences, is just bringing like amazing people together as well.
Yeah, I think that's really similar to what we think, because we told you a bit about our wedding before, but that was really what we were doing. So we had Bangra dancers, it was in a Mongolian yurt, we had Aussie barbecue food, like all of this, but we were trying to sorry if any of our family are listening to this, but we were trying to open our family's minds to different cultures and stuff like that, weren't we? Because let's be honest, they're a little bit close-minded sometimes, like some of them. We were just like, look at these Bangra dancers, they're sick, like they're amazing, but if they walk past you in the street, you like, you might think something different of them, which isn't right. Like, you should embrace everyone, embrace all cultures. And actually, like you were saying with your mum partying in the desert and stuff, like, that's what our wedding was wasn't it?
Afterwards, all our friends and family were like, that was amazing. Like, can we do it same time next year kind of thing? And it was a kind of event that they otherwise would have never have gone to.
Obviously, the free bar helped as well.
There was a free bar, which, I think you guys need to work on that for this time next year.
Any sponsors out there, if they want to fund the free bar,
we're open to that. So earlier, you listed a few countries you go to. Can you just give us some of your top destinations and what you actually do in these places? Is that okay?
Yeah, it's a tricky question to answer. I can give you some of my favourite places.
Please do.
And some of the places that we're super excited to launch, So we're launching, we're putting on sale South Africa soon.
Cape Town is just like, oh my God, I just want to move there.
But South Africa's
Cape Town.
South Africa's just an incredible country and somewhere where I would kind of like urge everyone to go. They've even got a beach with penguins.
That's amazing. For me, I'm so excited about our well-being experiences. So we feel a little bit like at the moment that well-being is just like so dated, like in terms of like well-being retreats and like detox retreats and stuff. A lot of them, you don't know what you're going to get when you go there, whether or not they're going to be giving you lettuce and like making you fast for days or whatever, but really what we want to do with our well-being retreats is really to understand like how people want to feel when they come back off this specific trip, right? So, if you go on a trip to Amsterdam for a week, for the things that you want to do and you want to walk around and you want to go and like experience the clubs and the bars and the restaurants and you want to see everything, it might not be that relaxing when you get back.
Yeah.
So, with our well-being retreats, we want to understand like you come to us in May and you've just been working, solidly 7 days a week or whatever for the last month and you're like, right, okay, I've got this much to spend. When I go on my trip, I want to come back and I want to just feel completely like chilled, relaxed, headspace, that sort of thing. And then we basically just want to curate these experiences for people based on how they're feeling and how they want to feel when they come back from their trip. So for me, the well-being experiences and curating them around what people want is like what I'm excited
about. Cool. It's a different way to look at holidays. It's good, but it's like, it's how do you want to feel rather than necessarily what do you want to do or where do you want to go, but how do you want to feel? I like that.
To finish off, I'm going to look like an obsessive fan, right? But I promise I had this done before I saw your logo for Beyond Sahara.
What?
But on my foot, I've got a tattoo and it's the same as your logo.
That's insane!
Because it means explore.
Yeah.
Yes!
And then on my
nailed it though, because no one knows what we actually have our logo.
That is
on the other foot,
sick.
I've got the one that says challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means challenge.
Oh my
God. I look like an obsessive fan of Beyond.
It's a glitch, right? Super fan.
Can we just hear your Twitter and your Instagram? How can people contact you?
So we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at We Are Fixers, and we just want everyone to join the Warren Boren holidays. Thanks so much, guys.
That was Ben, Lisa, and a little bit of Abdu as well. Again, thank you so much for talking to us, guys. We had a really nice chat with them, didn't we? Really enjoyed our time with them.
Yeah, like really, really inspirational couple. I just love their outlook on life and I just love their future plans for this company. It's really cool.
And I especially love, help join the war on boring holidays, because they are right. Holidays should not be boring. They should be special and they should be fun. Something that Ben said, which I completely agree with, how you kind of have to earn the experience. And
definitely,
that's, with the long journey out there. If places were easy to access, everyone would be going. It'd be like the south of Spain. Like everyone would be going, and it'd be a bit ruined. But to go to these special places, you do have to earn it. And we're all for adventures and the ups and downs are all part of it.
100%. When you said that we broke up the journey, we stayed in this Casbah. I guess you could call it Casbah, like hotel type thing. And even if you're not going to this festival, I highly recommend doing this 10-hour drive just to get to this place.
This hotel was something else, wasn't it?
It was so insane.
It was amazing. So luxurious. We had like this whole kind of suite room to ourselves, two floors. They had an amazing pool, just like the decoration of the place. Even the way the building looked from the outside, man, this was somewhere special.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And we'll put pictures up on our Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that, What the Faux Travel Podcast. So check it out there. We was in a place called Earth Food, which is spelled E-R-F-O-U-D. And it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, from that hotel, they can arrange desert trips for you. So even if you're, like Amy said, even if you just go stay at this hotel and check out the desert from there, great. I mean, obviously, what we did was cool because we went to an actual planned event. But this hotel, yeah, on the way to Beyond Sahara was incredible.
Yeah, and we, for some reason, got like a really cool room. So maybe they thought we were like, well, call it
newlyweds.
Newlyweds, that's it. We got this room which had like two floors on it, but then we had like a rooftop by ourselves. It was like we had six rooms by ourselves. It was crazy. It was amazing. There's a pool there and like really, really stunning traditional Moroccan furniture everywhere.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It was perfect. They've got mini golf there, tennis courts, swimming pools, anything you'd want. For even if you don't even want an adventure holiday, you can just go there for like the most luxurious holiday.
Plus, when we were there, there was a good party going on till about 2 a.m, I think, wasn't it?
I think that was because of the festival, though.
Oh, no, it's because of the festival, definitely. Yeah. But it was good, wasn't it?
Oh, it was amazing. That's because Moroccan DJ was on and he is banging. Good techno DJ.
He's good.
So going back to the main part of the festival, I just wanted to talk a little bit about yoga. This has got to be within the top two places that I've ever done yoga. And I'm only saying that because I did it in Indonesia on this like bamboo rack like platform in the middle of like a foresty bit by the sea. And it was unbelievable. But this is so close to that. We were in the middle of all the sand dunes. They'd laid out loads of rugs and carpets for us. And a bit of shade as well. And we had the most beautiful yoga teacher from Frame in London. She travelled out with the festival, with Fixers, with Beyond Sahara to do the session with us. I think she actually had one in the morning after one of the big nights. I think it was on at like 7 in the morning or 6.
I think there was a 6 a.m. yoga session.
But no one turned up.
Yeah,
but
I'm not surprised.
But that shows how good the party was the night before. People were just going to bed at that time. But then the 11 o'clock class, that was fully packed. I got there slightly late and like I had no room whatsoever, but it was still amazing.
Yeah, it was a popular class. You said it was one of your favourite ever yoga classes.
Oh yeah, because the teacher was so sweet. She was really, really nice and really calming. And then at the end, she walked around and put tea tree oil on us while we were... That sounds really sexual. it wasn't. but she like put it on our shoulders while we were having our meditation section at the end. And oh, it was really nice. I loved it. The other thing we need to talk about is the slip and slide. So they got this truck and was just pumping water out of this, I don't even know what it was, like a barrel?
Yeah,
they
had a barrel on the back of a truck at the top of a sand dune. Yeah, just pouring water.
Some fairy liquid.
Yeah, fairy liquid.
And I was like well up for it until I got there and I saw it. And I saw like some people coming down and they looked really like gross after. And I was like, I'm going to be a right girl about this. And I don't think I want to get my hair all sandy and soapy like that. Oh, and by the way, at the festival, we had flushing toilets, clean showers, everything. We had a proper bed as well. And it was all Moroccan style. It was beautiful. So yeah, the slip and slide, there's two good stories. Well, you did it, didn't you? How did you find it?
I did. When I first saw it, I'm like, this looks amazing. I was really keen. I went up and I did it. And it was good fun. As soon as I got to the bottom, I'm covered in sand, like water, and washing up liquid. As soon as I did it once, I was like, Amy, we have to leave. I need to get in the shower.
Which is so unlike you. Like, guys don't normally do that. And you were just like, I need to go.
No, it's just the sand, wet sand and washing up liquid just felt really weird. All the washing up liquid got in my shorts and I had to get it off. It felt disgusting.
But I was taking pictures on Natalie's camera, so I need to get them from her. I got quite a good picture of you coming down there. We'll put that on our Instagram as well. But you didn't actually see this, but it was absolutely golden. And if the girl is listening to this for some reason, like, shout out to you. You're amazing. So one of the girls went down, but she was kind of on her belly as she was going down. But because she was going down, it pulled her bikini down and her boob fell out. And oh my God, it was so funny. But she completely like styled it out. She was just like, oh yeah, that totally meant to happen. And kind of like laughed it off and got up. And it was amazing. Yeah, it was funny.
But was everyone else like, way? Or were they like, oh, that's embarrassing, or like, I don't know.
Everyone was more like, way, but then obviously like a few girls were like, oh my God, hun, are you okay?
Yeah, LOL.
So yeah, great festival.
Very cool. Before we move on from all the Beyond Sahara chat, yeah, like Amy said, check out the video. It's fucking awesome. And yeah, even Fixers, like find them online. If you like the idea of their, you know, vision on holidays and how they should be, check them out.
Absolutely. So we've very quickly come to the time of That's What She Fez.
Man, this is going to be a great game.
Right, so how are we going to do this? So it's kind of like a battle between you and me, and whoever runs out loses, really.
Well, that's it. We've just got to keep taking it in turns to come up with some dirty sexual innuendo, some sort of pun, but it's got to be a Moroccan or North African based. And yeah, we just go until one of us can't go anymore.
Okay.
And they have to make, well, I say they have to make sense. That's what, the ones that don't make sense might be even funnier.
Yeah, you never know.
So, Amy, would you like to serve?
Okay, yeah. Right. Okay, I'll start. I love a bit of meat in my tagine.
Good. Great. I'm going to fuck you fezless.
You said that so aggressively. I didn't let him in my riad as I hadn't cleaned my carpet.
That's all right.
I was really proud of that one.
That's okay. Should we explain? A riad is like a traditional hotel.
Oh, yeah.
In Morocco, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Morocco, more like Morocco.
Can I rummage through your souk?
what do you mean by souk then? What is that supposed to be?
Rummage. Souk is a market.
No, I know that, but rummage through your... What are you saying it in a dirty way? What do you mean?
I'm leaving it up to your imagination there. Okay. What do you want to rummage through, basically?
Can I rummage through your souk? Okay, I got it. Okay, ready? Come on, my fez.
Okay. By the way, if anyone's listening and you've come up with one that we haven't, we definitely want to get a tweet from you.
Yeah, send it
this
in.
Will be brilliant. Okay, this isn't necessarily Moroccan themed, but it's definitely Africa, right?
Fine.
I bet you love it up the Suez Canal.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. Well done. Okay, another aggressive one. Couscous, my...
But what is that?
What did you bleep that for, Amy? Why did you bleep it?
But wait, what do you want to do with that couscous?
I'm saying,
what does that even mean?
Cock my but instead of cock, couscous my
but no one else gets that but you and me.
I don't know, they've got
okay,
it
okay that's
now.
Just like a private joke we always, I don't know. I'm no, not
the,
even going
you get
to
the
it.
Bracelets in Thailand which have really rude stuff on them. One of
oh,
them
that's
says,
true.
One of them says cock my
oh yeah. Stop saying okay. There's sand in my camel's toe.
Yes, that is good. I like that. I had a camel toe one coming up, but you've taken my thunder. That's good. That's better than mine, though. Okay. Oh, you've charmed my snake.
Oh, damn it, I've got that one. Okay, this is a really clever one, and I got it from a friend, so I can't really take the...
Take the credit.
Okay, I'll take the credit. I read out one of his other ones as well, but I'm going to take the credit for
Suez
that.
Suez Canal.
Yeah. Are you into anything bizarre?
Oh, that's good.
It's very clever,
that's
isn't
clever.
It?
That's clever. I like that. Doesn't have to be dirty to be funny. That's a good one. Okay. Now we go back to filth. I'm so wet, I'm frothing more than a camel's mouth.
They get so frothy, don't they?
Oh, so frothy.
So frothy.
So do camel's mouths. Hey, Amy, what have you got?
Oh, that camel spits.
Yeah, that's good. That's fine. Cock my Casbah. Not rock my Casbah.
Nice, okay. I know you've kind of said this, but I want to say it anyway. I'll charm your snake with my whistle.
Yeah, oh, no, that's good. That's okay.
I'm just extending yours there.
More like that. Now, Amy, I've heard Morocco is famous for oranges. Mm-hmm. Good thing if you want some vitamin semen.
Oh my god, yours is so much better than mine. Okay, I feel like I need to bring a good one out, but
I'm running out.
I'm just gonna go in order that I've put them. You can get some cheap carpets in Morocco, you just have to bang them until they're clean.
Yeah, that's good. Funny and true. Casablanca. More like Casawanka.
Right, I've got just like a thing here, but I didn't know how to use it in a sentence. Again, this comes from my friend. He's just brilliant at stuff like this. Rampant Rabat.
Oh, that is clever.
It's so good, isn't
it? Rampant Rabat.
I didn't know how to put it in a sentence.
That is good. No, that is very good. Okay. This one's a bit bizarre, but use your imagination.
Bizarre, is it?
Well, I mean, it's a bit... it's a bit crap, but... Okay. Sand dune. More like sand poon, nanny.
That was awful.
Sand poon, nanny. Okay.
Nah. Right, okay. You know that song, I Wanna Lick You Up and Down?
I do know it.
I Wanna Get Africa With You.
No.
You're just doing that because I did that to you.
Well, okay, they are both bad.
There you go. We're getting low now.
Oh, this bottom of the barrel now. Oh, you have some lovely camel humps. Lovely lady lumps. Camel humps.
Okay, mine's like close to that. Can I stroke your camel humps?
I think you're copying me now.
I've got it written down. You can see it there.
Yeah, okay. It's still camel hump themed.
Okay, my next two ones are similar to what you said as well. I've got some proper wrong ones coming, though.
I'm going to be honest. I'm out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got no more.
Oh, it sucks to be you then, doesn't it?
So this does mean you've won, even though for some reason you admitted to everyone that your friends have given you these.
What? Why don't
you
just pretend? Three of them.
Why don't you pretend they're yours? All right.
Because he might listen and then he'll be like, oh, you didn't give me a shout out.
Okay. I am out, so which means you've won, but yeah. Let's hear the other two.
Two? I've got like another six.
Come on then.
Okay, so you can blank my casa. Is in Casablanca. I'd like to rock that Casbah.
Yeah, that's all right.
I imagine that's like two guys talking to each other in a club, looking over the room.
Yeah.
I'd like to rock that Casbah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of that. Do you want to come over and put on my babooshes?
What's that?
Babooshes are slippers.
Oh.
But it sounds like something dirty, doesn't it?
Did not get that.
Oh, this one, I was quite... So you know they're like mint tea?
Yep.
Ooh, that's minty fresh.
Minty fresh.
Minty fresh.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. She can warm up your couscous.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, and then
I prefer couscous my
Yeah. that was a bit stronger, that one. And then my last one, which I found through Urban Dictionary, because I was thinking I want to say something about sand. Is there anything related? So I looked up sand and it came up with rake sand on Urban Dictionary. Do you know what this is?
No.
Is pretty wrong. Okay, so it says, used as a sexual innuendo for a man fucking a woman, used in a sentence. Bob, your girlfriend is so hot. Joe, I raked her sand last night so hard, I'm not sure she can walk yet. And then Bob says, my girlfriend won't let me rake her sand since we got in that fight. Joe says, sucks, I love to rake sand. So I said, I wonder if they rake the sand in the Sahara Desert.
Yeah.
That was...
Did you hear my voice? I was that excited. My voice... When will my balls ever drop? My voice keeps doing that.
So that was my last one. I wonder if they'll rake sand in the Sahara Desert.
Very good. You have to explain it beforehand, don't you, to get it.
But yeah, that's because not everyone's as cultured as me.
Very true, but very good. There were some good ones there. Actually, surprisingly, the one of mine that made you laugh the most was Casawanka. I didn't think that was that good.
I think it was your delivery that did it.
Okay, good.
That's what she says.
What a great game. And I just want to say, any Moroccans, we are not saying bad things about your country. We love.
No.
We're going to tell you a bit later on, we love Morocco.
We did.
That was just, that's what she fares. It works so well.
We were like, we have to make a game out of that.
And actually, if
amazing.
Someone hasn't got it by now, I should have mentioned it earlier, actually. Fez is a city in Morocco, but it's also a little hat.
Yeah. And for the oldies out there, Tommy Cooper.
Yeah, comedian.
Comedian used to wear it. I don't know why. Because I was born in 91, okay?
Exactly. Why would you care?
I really hope that some of you are listening to that on like a train or in a public space. Because then if you're laughing and someone asks you what you're laughing at, you can tell them. That's what she says.
Yeah. I was laughing at Cock My Casbah. And they're like, what?
Right, let's talk about Marrakesh. So after the festival, we took the journey back and went to the beautiful place of Marrakesh. And like we found out in your game show facts, it's not the capital of Morocco.
Oh, yeah, it's not the capital and it's not the largest city. So, and it's not even by the sea. So we're thinking, why is it such a tourist hotspot? But it is.
But it's beautiful. Like, so you've got like a lot of medinas and all these little cute little roads that you walk down. And our Riyadh was down one of those.
Yeah, so our taxi couldn't drop us off there because your cars can't fit. But that's part of the charm of that part of town. Yeah, little alleyways and you could happily just walk around and get lost all day. The place is beautiful.
Yeah, and if you've been to India but not Morocco, it's kind of like a less intense India where Just take out all the beeping from the cars and the bikes. So it's calm in that sense, but it's still got all the vivid smells of the spices. Although they have like cleaner smells in Morocco, don't they? Because they burn a lot of incense in the streets and stuff, and you don't kind of get all the sewer smells. Like, I love India, I don't want to put it down, but they do have a lot of sewer smells. So yeah, but it was just like really nice smelling and just so vivid. And it's like all the great things about India is so similar to Morocco. I
completely agree. So yeah, it's like a kind of little India, but it's so close to Europe.
Yeah.
My God, with London, 3-hour flight and EasyJet, so it's cheap to get to. Like, it opened my eyes about these places in North Africa, which are so close to us in Europe, but feel a million miles away when you're there.
Yeah, definitely. So when we was in Marrakesh, we had 3 days to explore and everything. But from the festival, we were so tired from all the journeys and like, because it was such an adventure, but like tired in a good way. So once we'd got to our Riyadh with Nikki, our friend, we were like, right, let's just spend the next day calm, relaxed. So we got some massages in our Riyadh. We were sitting on the rooftop, looking at the scenery, watching sunsets, went for a really nice dinner, which we were recommended by Ben and Lisa from Fixers. She told us like some really good restaurants and everything to go to in Marrakesh. So thank you for that.
Yeah, we had a lovely time there. And this is one of the things I would recommend to people doing the festival. Definitely book at least two, but I'd say three. 2 or 3 days after the festival to chill out. Because like Amy said, we had such a nice day. Once we got to Marrakesh that night, the next day was just a write-off. We didn't do anything apart from massages and chill out. The day afterwards, we went out to explore, didn't we?
Yes.
And we walked around the markets or the souks, as they're called.
Yeah, and it was amazing. Like, so I was going there prepared that we were going to get sold to and just buy this all the time. But I was pleasantly surprised. And I don't know whether it was my face or like they could tell that I was being serious, because I did see a few other people saying no and then getting harassed a bit further, but I never got that. I was just kind of like, no, and I wasn't rude, and I said, no, thank you, I don't want that. And I was kind of like straight to the point, so I wasn't hassled. But like, that's kind of like the negative side out of markets, but it was without a doubt the best market I've ever been to. You can get anything you want, leather goods, so they've got like all their backpacks, their slippers, babooshes, rugs, carpets,
clothes,
spices, oh my God.
Souvenirs.
So we got a pillow for our bed as well. And oh my God, it was just amazing. Oh, and like I said earlier, with the smells, the sights, the colours, it was just beautiful. All the people were so nice.
Yeah, the people were nice. This is something that really struck me. We were talking to a guy who makes little like wooden things, doesn't he?
Yeah, like chess boards or anything made out of wood.
Yeah, and he just showed us how he makes it, which first of all was incredible. He just got this plank of wood and then in like 20 seconds he'd made a little chess piece out of it.
It was unbelievable.
And then he put a hole through the chess piece and put a string through it. And he said to me, here you go, here's a necklace. And I was like, oh, well, thanks, but how much? I don't really want it, but how much do you want for it? And he was like, no, no money. I was like, oh, it's a present. He's like, yeah. So I kept saying, seriously, take some money. He's like, no, my friend, it's a present. I was like, how nice is that?
Yeah.
What a nice guy.
Moroccan people are so generous. And so not just because of the necklace, but like, they're just so kind. So you had another thing where you were buying something and you gave them too much money, didn't you?
Yeah. At the very last market store we went to, actually, I bought a little souvenir, a little tagine, and I saw the price. And I gave him the money and he's like, oh no, you're giving me too much. He gave me most of my money back. I was like, oh no, but that's the price. He said, no, you're looking at the wrong thing. Here you go, here's your money. I was like, oh, like how nice. Look, shame on me for assuming that he would have just taken the money. But he was like, no, you're giving me too much. Here you go.
Yeah. If you've been traveling like Southeast Asia and stuff, you kind of expect to be scammed all the time. So it was really refreshing to see they're not out to scam us. And it was really nice.
Yeah. And even when you are being hassled a little bit, if you kind of give a bit of banter back and have fun with it, it can be good fun, and you can both end on kind of good terms rather than it getting a bit heated. Because we actually, I don't know whether you mentioned the show before, we have actually been to Morocco before, but only for the day.
Oh, that's true.
And this was how many years ago?
Like we 6 years ago?
Yeah, we weren't really travellers at that point. So no. We were spending time in Spain and we saw we can do a day trip. And we thought, oh, what an adventure, going to Africa for the day. How cool. We went to a place called Tangine.
Tangiers.
Which we remember wasn't really very nice. I remember we went to a nice restaurant, but with a guided tour. But that day we got hassled so much,
yeah,
from the market sellers, and we didn't enjoy it.
And this is what makes me think that this time is because of our like demeanor and our faces and stuff. Like, we're being perfectly polite to everyone, but they knew, like,
to the
okay,
point.
Yeah, she doesn't want to buy that. Yeah, because our first time in Morocco was actually pretty horrendous. We kind of got stuck in this carpet place. place. Like we said, we never traveled before, so we didn't know all the scams and how they harass you. And it's really intimidating if you've never been before. And so we were in this rug shop and they kind of like shut the doors on us and said, you can't leave until you give us some money, because they'd given Nick some mint tea and they were being really nice to us. But we were on a guided tour and we'd kind of been left in there, and I don't really know why. But then they were kind of forcing you to give your card over. And what actually had to happen at the end was I had to fake cry to get us out of there. Yeah. I was kind of crying at the same time because I was like, I just want to be out of this situation. While you're handing over your mum's credit card, and I snatched the card out of your hand and I was like, don't you dare give that away. Like, because we were like super poor as always, because we were spending our money on travel and stuff. The only money you had was a credit card from your mum, who gave it to you as like a last minute resort. And I was like,
emergency.
Nick? I was like running slow-mo across the room like, Nick, no. And
But a bit of advice.
So we just like ran out of there and I cried and like screamed at the man. I was like, you need to let us out.
You did. A bit of advice for people. Yeah, like it was my fault for kind of engaging in conversation, because he first said, the price of this is like 200 euros. He said, what would you be willing to pay? I'm like, oh, nothing. And he goes, no, give me a number, just for a laugh. So I said, like, I don't know, 40 euros. And he shook my hand. I was like, done, deal.
Oh my God.
I'm like, oh shit, I bought something I don't want and I don't really want to spend 40 euros on it. So if you're genuinely interested, yeah, engage, have a haggle. It can be quite a good fun haggling.
It is fun, yeah.
Yeah, but if you didn't want it in the first place, just don't even engage with it. Just say, no, thank you, walk on.
In the time that we're talking about haggling as well, always haggle. Don't ever take your first price, because, for example, we bought a pillow, just a small pillow for our bed. He gave us a price of 600, which is basically like 50, 60 pounds. And then we got it down to 150. So, you know, like a sixth of the price.
Yes. So you ended up paying like 12 quid for it.
Yeah.
Even then, you were saying to him, no, that's a final offer. And he was like, no, please. I'm giving this away. Think of my family. And they're like, no, see you later. As we walked off, we went, all right, come back.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. And I bet you he still made a nice profit.
Exactly. Start to walk away and then you'll see how they feel about the price you're offering them.
Just think what price you want and stick to it.
Yeah.
And they won't accept unless it's a good deal for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Will they? But I just want you guys to be transported into the markets, because it was a really cool place. You really loved it. I recorded some sounds on my phone just to bring you guys there and you can hear what it's like.
Amazing little bustly place. I love it. I love the souks in the market. Cool. It's great. So after the souks, we were pretty tired by that point. We'd had lunch and everything. But then we went on to see the gardens, because they're quite a big thing to see in Morocco. I think there's three main sets of gardens.
In Marrakesh.
Yeah. But we went to Jardin Marielle.
Nice.
Which is MAJORELLE. They were literally just gardens. Like, it's not really our thing, but it was really pretty. And if you're quite an arty person, it's kind of like walking around a gallery, really, wasn't it? I'm not too sure on the link, but there was quite a big link with YSL, the designer, Yves Saint Laurent. The gardens were devoted to him because he'd passed away. But if galleries and all of that sort of thing and gardens is your type of thing, you would definitely love it. It was really pretty, but we paid like something like 10 euros kind of price.
Yeah, I think like 7 or 8 pounds to get in.
Yeah, and to walk around, it took about 10 minutes.
Yeah, depending on how quick you walk around. I mean, it looked beautiful, but I was just thinking to myself, me personally, I could be in any city in the world looking at some beautiful gardens.
Yeah.
But while in Marrakesh, what's unique about Marrakesh? You go check out the markets and,
yeah,
and the people and the food.
Yeah.
But no, it's still beautiful.
Yeah, and it's there if that sounds like your sort of thing. So let's move on to our Riyadh. So we stayed in Riyadh Origines, and that's ORIGINES. I would 100% recommend staying there. If you want to get the details of them, you can check them out on Airbnb or just directly through their website, or even come to us. We'll try and put a link in the bio of this episode as well. Definitely worth going to see these people, and mainly for Saeed, really.
You'll hear from Saeed in a little bit. But yeah, this place we were staying, we were there for 3 nights. It was just the perfect base to explore Marrakesh. It was in the Medina, which is the part of town where you have to walk in through all the little streets. And there was a lot. There was food nearby, or they provided food in the restaurant of the Riyadh, the hotel. They got a little pool area for when it gets hot, and the rooftop terrace was just great. You can sit up there, have a bit of food, have a drink or whatever, chill out on the sunbeds, and you've got a view of the whole city. And actually, you could see the Atlas Mountains in the distance. So you're in this place where the weather during the day anyway was really nice and warm, perfect weather. But in the distance, you can see these snow-capped mountains.
Yeah.
And it was like, we're in such a cool place. And the other cool thing about the rooftop terrace at Riyadh was when you've got the view of the city, and in the distance, you can hear the call to prayer. Is it every, like, what time is it a day?
I think it's 5 times a day.
Yeah, but it's really cool hearing it, and you guys can hear it now.
So how calm is that? It was really cool because we were surrounded by 3 different mosques. So one of them would go off and then like the other 2 would follow. And it was just really cool. And it just felt really spiritual, like suddenly. And if you're in a bar or something, they are really respectful. They turn off the music and it's like you sit down and listen. And it's really, not that you're not allowed to talk or anything, but it's just really calm and it's really nice and spiritual, actually.
Yeah, it's a really nice calming noise.
We spoke to Saeed when we was on the rooftop and it was beautiful setting for an interview. It was probably one of our best. But we asked Saeed, can you explain the Riyadh, like how many rooms do you have and what services do you provide?
I am Saeed, is Riyadh origin. So we have 5 rooms and we have 2 hammam and a spa, mm-hmm, and a restaurant.
And you can organise trips into town, like tours?
About trips, we work with a company. They organize trips and a lot of activity.
Cool, okay. And also you can pick people up from the airport and take them back to the airport, is that right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so you can make it really easy for people. And what do you think are the best things to do in the beautiful city of Marrakesh?
You visit some old places like Old School for Quran, Museum Marrakesh, and Badia Palace, Badia Bahia. And you can to visit to Mazar El Garden, it's a beautiful garden in Marrakesh. Mm-hmm. And you can to visit to souk if you want to buy something traditional.
Yeah, so the souk, they're the markets. Do you have any advice for the listeners when you're at the market? Like, can you try to negotiate and get the price down?
There are some people have a fixed price. There are some people you need to negotiate with them. It's normal.
Now, that guy, it was funny because when we said, oh, no, can we interview you, he suddenly kind of became really quiet and quite shy, which a lot of people do sometimes because it can be intimidating, especially if you're speaking the language which isn't your first language. But normally, that guy was such a joker, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was such a comedian. Like, we had our massages booked, really looking forward to these after, you know, a weekend partying in the desert. And what happened? We go downstairs and it was you, Amy. First of all, he said to you, what was it?
I was standing on the stairs waiting for you to come down. And he knew we were coming down for our massages. He goes, no massage today.
I went, and your face.
My face dropped and I was like, what?
You looked at me, you were like, Nick, there's no massages today.
I don't think I said it like that.
You turned into like common,
like
scary.
Like Pat Butcher off of EastEnders or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, Brit Abroad.
I was like, have you heard this?
This fucking prick over here is saying we got no massages.
I was really, really annoyed. And he kept me going for a good 3 to 4 minutes. It was like, oh, and I went, well, why? And he went, yeah, it's tomorrow. I went, well, we're not here tomorrow. We're going out tomorrow. We're going to the souks tomorrow. We need them today. And he was like, oh, they just, no come, like this. And I was like, Nick, have you heard this? And then he was like, oh, I'm only joking. They're just through there.
Yeah, and then he's like, his face lights up, started smiling. I'm only joking. But he did this a few times. Like, I went downstairs where reception is. Just said, oh, sorry, can I have a bottle of water, please? He looks at me eye to eye, goes, no. No. And then he's like, yes, okay, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
But really nice, like, searchable, fun guy. And he'll do, like, anything for you. Even if they haven't got food in stock in the restaurant, he'll go out and get something for you.
Yeah, he's going to, like, go out and get some chips and stuff like that. It was great, great service. It really was.
Good guy. And we really would recommend the place. It was nice and clean and it was great. They did our laundry for free as well, which after spending a weekend in the desert, you need your laundry done.
Yeah, we stank because of like smoke from the bonfires and stuff like that. Yeah, it was pretty dirty. Just quickly, let's talk about Moroccan food. So when we was in the desert, we had this local dish, which was basically kind of like a pizza. So dough, but it had lamb and spices in the middle of it. That was really good, wasn't
bread.
It? Yeah, it was kind of like a doubled up pizza, lamb pizza. Mm. That was amazing.
That was really nice. Moroccan salads are actually nice as well. We got like olives in there and stuff, which I ate a lot of olives while we were there. But yeah, the tagine, you normally get like lamb or chicken with vegetable cooked in these tagines.
Yeah,
so, rice.
And if you've never seen a tagine before, it's kind of like a triangular shaped oven. So like the top triangle of it is like a clay pot that you put over the stove, and it just cooks in there for hours and hours.
Yeah, like slow cooks, and the steam, like the shape of it does something with the steam. I think actually the steam rises, and as it gets to the top, it then turns to water and falls back down to keep it all nice and juicy.
Oh, so good.
That was good. And then in most restaurants, even if you order it or not, once the main food is gone, they bring out a lot of oranges, don't they?
Yeah.
Which is a nice way to, it's a nice refreshing way to finish a meal.
Yeah, really good oranges. That's like the main place where oranges are grown, because you tend to think they're from Spain, the south of Spain, but obviously it's quite close to Morocco. But yeah, good oranges there. Love it.
Really good.
So we haven't heard from Nikki yet, who we travelled India, Nepal with, and we travelled this trip with. We was having our last meal in Marrakesh, and I thought I'd be a bit cheeky and secretly record Nick and Nikki. Neither of them knew, because I wanted to get like a natural reaction of what they thought of the whole trip. And because obviously she was, what do you call it, a gooseberry? That's like a really old fashioned
third wheel.
A third wheel, that's it. I'm so old, aren't I?
Gooseberry.
She was all gooseberry. Because we're a married couple, and then she's like traveling with us. But it wasn't, well, I hope she didn't feel awkward. I didn't feel awkward.
Fine.
It was really good, like hanging out with her for the whole week. It was amazing. But yeah, I asked the guys what's been your top three highlights of the whole holiday.
I really like the Riyadh.
Yeah.
Yesterday I just had a massage and read my book. Like, I really enjoyed that. And I really like meeting Owen and Maureen. I really liked them. Mm. And the night we got fucked up. So those are my three highlights.
Fucked up. But yeah, the Riyadh. Like, this whole end to the trip's been really good.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did it this way. And didn't do it the other way around.
I completely agree.
It's been the perfect end. Yeah, I'd say anyone going to Beyond, but yeah, do it. It'll be an experience, it'll be fun, but make sure you've got 2 or 3 days afterwards to chill the fuck out.
It's a necessity.
And my third highlight is Saeed at the Riyadh.
What?
What a guy.
Do you love him?
He's great. What about you, Andy?
Riding the camels, actually, because like it's been on my bucket list for a while. And
oh, yeah, I forgot we even did that.
And the fact that like you did it last time in Morocco and I turned it down, and ever since I did, that was when I was like scared of everything, and I was really annoyed at myself for years after. I was like, why the fuck did I turn it down? What an idiot. So I'm glad I finally got that done. So that's number one. Meeting the Moroccan DJ and like watching him play was the second. And third is the Riyadh.
Riyadh is the bollocks. Good. That's some good highlights.
Well, I was secretly recording that, guys.
So yeah, that was actually, I think, the second time Amy has secretly recorded me while I've been doing this podcast. But it was nice to hear an honest opinion of what we thought of the trip. And it was cool. You could hear the traditional Moroccan guitar in the background in this restaurant we were in, which is nice. And we were, again, on a rooftop terrace. You can see the city. So that kind of gives you an idea of the setting. But it was a really nice last night.
It really was. To finish off, let's rate Morocco. I want to start doing this each episode. We did it with our USA episode, didn't we, actually? So what would you give Morocco out of 10?
Out of 10? I would actually give Morocco, in terms of like what you get from a break away and to see different cultures and food and people, stuff like that, I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10.
Are you?
I fucking loved Morocco. Like, India as well for me is a 10 out of 10. I would still say India is my favourite, but even the fact on the trip, we were discussing the fact that, oh, is Morocco our new favourite country? Mm. That shows how good it was. I was totally surprised, especially because we didn't really enjoy it last time. For me, I don't know how it could have been better. Morocco gets 10 out of 10.
That's really good. Before, I was thinking about this. I completely agree with you. Like, it definitely rivals India for me, my favourite country. And I was thinking, is this better for me? And I feel like Morocco actually just tips India for me.
You think it was better?
Yeah, but there is one major thing for me, which is food. I love food. I think about it. If I'm not eating it, I'm thinking about it. It's just my life. But Indian food, for me, is better than Moroccan food.
It is better. There's more flavour and spices in Indian food than in Moroccan food.
Yeah, like, I know they put a lot of spices in the Moroccan food, but it just doesn't really give that punch for me. And I'm not even talking about spicy food, because I'm not a massive spicy person. But yeah, the food kind of, like, took away that edge for me. But it's a 9.5 out of...
Wow.
Actually, Yeah, 9.5.
Well, that's probably fair, because if I'm saying 10 out of 10, that means nothing could be better. And I do kind of agree, Indian food is better than Moroccan food.
Yeah.
That's our opinion. But it's such a cool place, and I can't stress to you guys, if you're listening in Europe, it's so close.
Yeah.
It's so close and cheap to fly to. EasyJet, fly to Marrakesh.
And you feel like you're on the other side of the world, like in Asia or something. It's amazing. I love it. It's just such a cool place. If you haven't been already, I would definitely recommend it being your next holiday. And if you have been, we would love to hear from you. So get in touch on like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook as well.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, I do want to go back. I want to explore Casablanca. I want to see what that's
like. Seems like such a party place there. Yeah. A lot of techno music.
I want to check out Rabat. It's the capital.
Yes.
And I want to get a Fez.
Maybe we should do like a What the Faux tour. We can start our own like tour company or something.
When we get to
Fez. Actually, no, let's just get Fixers to do it because they're better than us. We have no experience in this whatsoever. There you go, Fixers. I know you're doing Morocco already, but do it more.
just do it more.
Right, so that was our Morocco episode. Next month, we are going to be talking to Becky, who we spoke about on our Germany episode, because we thought it was going to be this episode. But yeah, it's going to be all about Iceland, and one of us likes it, and one of us doesn't.
That is such a tease.
Who is it going to be? So yeah, make sure you check that one out next month. Thank you for listening.
Before we go, final word from me. I'm going to plug our end of season 2 party. We have a venue. We have a date. The date's actually changed. The last episode, I said it was going to be Friday the 30th of June. It's not. It's going to be just the day after, which is Saturday the 1st of July. It's going to be in London, in Shoreditch, which is our area, East London. But email whatthefaux podcast, faux is PHO, @gmail.com for all the details. Look at our social media. It's all over the place. But you guys have a chance to create history. Do you want to know why?
Yes.
Because this meetup we're arranging, we're trying to get loads of travellers together for drinks and chatting and have a good night out. This could be like the first of an annual thing. This could carry on. It could evolve. At the moment, it's just drinks. In the future, it could end up being like a fucking full-blown festival or something. But I think every year in the summer, we should do this in a different place in the world. So the location always changes. So think about it. You guys can be at the very first one. Saturday, 1st of July, this year, 2017. The venue is the Queen of Hoxton Club. What club? Bar?
Bar.
It's called Queen of Hoxton in Shoreditch. But yeah, get in touch for the details. If it changes for whatever reason, I will email you to let you know. So email the show. Let's do it.
Sweet. I actually cannot wait. Make sure you get there, guys. We really want to meet you all and see all the people that have been tweeting us and stuff. It'd be really nice to put face to a tweet.
Yeah, it's very true.
I'd love to play That's What She Fez, but I don't think we can play it at a bar.
But yeah, we'll come out of games and prizes and it should be a fun night out. Let's
yeah, definitely.
It.
We're hoping that all of our guests who have been on Series 1 and Series 2 are going to be there, so you get to meet all of us.
That's the plan.
And we get to meet you, which is really cool. Yeah, so make sure you check us out next month as well with Becky and Iceland, because it's going to be a good one.
Casablanca? More like Casawanka. Don't forget, you guys can get in touch with the show. You can send us an email. Our address is whatthefaux podcast@gmail.com. Faux is spelled P-H-O. On Twitter, we are @faux podcast. Also, check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well. With all this social media, this podcast doesn't just come in your ears. We also come in your eyes. Lads, 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 lads.